Just go away, Mitch. It's the news, according to me. Good morning. It is Tuesday. No, it is Wednesday morning. It just seems like Tuesday to me. It's the second show of the week, so it's Wednesday. The last day of November. November 30th, 7:53 a.m. A little bit later than I had expected to be able to get going here this morning. 7:53 a.m., November 30th, Wednesday, 2022, just in case you're wondering. For those of you in the future who will listen to this 20 years from now, wondering what was going on, but doing your homework and your history studies. This is what this will be the kids' textbook later on, chronicling all the history that has happened right here on the news, according to me. I'm pretty sure of it. I'll probably be long gone because I'm already an old man. 20 years from now, I guess I could still be around. Boy, that seems like a long time. I'm sure it won't be because 60 years has gone by in a flash. Those of you who are that age or older, you know what I'm talking about. It goes by pretty quickly. I mean, there's been some days that have seemed like 60 years long. But it goes by very quickly. Enjoy it while you can. Celebrate life every day. Because it is a short and fleeting thing. There are people that were in my class in high school this last few years. We've lost several, not just from COVID, just other reasons. And lots of things can happen to you. You never know. When you know, you could wake up in the morning just feeling just fine, and they're planning your funeral by the end of the day. So just enjoy it. Be grateful for life. I learned this lesson a while back when I was out running. I hate running. I do not like running as an exercise. I'm more of a bicyclist. I like to bike. I don't like the pounding on the pavement thing, which is why I don't jog. I sprint or I walk fast, and I usually do one or the other. I'll walk fast for a block, and then I'll sprint the next block because I can't stand this jogging thing. Just bang, 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 bang. I see people, sometimes I walk past people who are jogging. They're barely moving. But they're pounding on the pavement. It's just, how do you do that? It just doesn't seem enjoyable at all. And the way I do it, you know, sometimes I'll go two blocks. I'll sprint for two blocks sometimes. And it's the way I do that, and I actually find myself with a smile on my face. And the only way I can do that is because I realize I have the ability to run, and I'm going to enjoy it. I start thanking God that I can run, that I have legs that work, that I can run, and I'm grateful for that. I at my age, I'm still able to do that. I know people younger than me, some of them 10, 15 years younger than me, who are struggling to get up and down steps. Another thing I like to do, I like to go up and down steps. Well, I don't like to do it, but I do it. I go up and down steps. I like that better than running. So I'll go up 10 floors, or 11 or 12 sometimes. And I'll do that a couple times a day, sometimes with a backpack on, just to, you know, keep the old ticker working. But to keep my, you know, body stronger, and I just enjoy the fact that I can actually do that with, you know, relative pain. I don't recover like I used to when I was 18 in my 20s. Now, there are things I can't do like I could do when in my 20s, but I'm grateful that I could do them in my 20s. I'm grateful for the things I can do. I would like to think that if I can maintain that mentality, even if I lose the ability to do something, that I would still be able to be grateful for the things I still can do. That's the attitude I'm talking about here. I'm not saying I'm glad I can do this when other people can't. I'm not saying that at all. I just want I want to build into my character this ability to be grateful, thankful. Interesting, this is coming up after Thanksgiving. But I want to be grateful and thankful for the things that I can do. Now, the things that I put off doing, that I know I should do, all that gets into a whole different ballgame. That's called procrastination. I think we all have a little bit of that in us. If you don't think you do, well, you have no self-awareness whatsoever. There are things about people that, it amazes me sometimes. The insinuation, the condescension that some people have towards others, and they don't have their life is a mess. Their own life is all messed up. And how they like to shift attention on that off to someone else's problems. Like to stick their nose in the air and act like their poop doesn't, I digress. How did I get started off? How did I go down to the sewer already this morning? I haven't got 5 minutes. Oh, I guess I'm 6 minutes into the show. Okay, I'm more than 5 minutes into the show. I can go that far. All right. So today, most importantly, what we have here in our cup is, yes, I have my old standby. I've got chai this morning. Chai with some vanilla, organic vanilla creamer. Yum. And it's actually pretty good. Supposedly it's probably better for me, I guess, because it's all, organic. Not synthetic. And I also have a backup cup. I'm not even sure what's in this backup cup. I think there's a schmodge podge of a lot of things. Let's see if I can tell by tasting. Yep, there's definitely some V8 Fusion peach mango in there. I think there might be a smidge of apple cider. And I believe there's some sweet tea. Not homemade sweet tea. It's like a gallon jug type thing you buy at the store. Probably Kroger brand or something like that. It's actually pretty good. It's not too bad. It's the next best thing to making it yourself. But that's what's in the backup cup, the cold backup cup this morning. That's what's in there. I'm still working. I've got about a third of a cup left of my chai. There you are. Now you're fully informed of that. Now, talking about Mitch, the reason I'm almost as if on cue, the powers that be, I'd have to wonder sometimes. If you'd want to dive deep into a conspiracy between people doing something, there is this idea that sometimes people will, to get paid off, to get certain bonus points, they will do certain things and get paid off by certain people under the table, around the back. And it almost makes you wonder how much. It's not always that there's a preemptive thing. It's kind of like 9/11. I don't think the government planned 9/11. I think that the government took advantage of 9/11 and used it to instate the Patriot Act and all the other controls that they have over us, the terrorist legislation, things that they're using against us now as citizens. They absolutely use those things. I'm going to get into some things today, talking about China, talking about TikTok, talking about you can call it conspiracy theory stuff. It's not conspiracy theory. It's science. It's fact. It's stuff that's happening. It's stuff that's going on with data gathering, surveillance state mentality stuff going on, technologies that are happening. People are talking about China having this ability, ability to surveil us and can collect data from us through TikTok and other apps that are out there. If you think China's the only one doing that, you're sadly mistaken. They probably got the idea from certain people in our government, our technology people. We're going to talk a little bit about the Elon Musk thing, what might happen there. I believe Elon Musk, we'll get into that later. We'll talk about this other thing first. Let's talk about Mitch McConnell. So Kanye West was trying to work out a dinner. Now, this is according to both things that both Kanye and Trump agree on. They both have said things, and then neither one of them have denied the other one is correct. And here's how it has gone down. Apparently, before the election, Kanye wanted to have dinner with Trump in Mar-a-Lago. And he got in touch with him, and Trump was willing to meet with Kanye and have him for dinner. Now, I don't know how big of a dinner. I would assume that every evening, probably, Trump has dinner, probably, and has a, it's kind of like being a cruise ship director. He's got this, he's got this resort down there. It's like being the captain on a cruise ship. I would assume that, you get to sit at the captain's table tonight. That's kind of the thing it is. I'm sure that they're eating in a dining area where there's other people dining as well, maybe, or maybe it's a private dinner. I don't know. Nobody has said whether it's a private dinner or not. I assume it was private enough in an area that was private enough where they could have a conversation. It wasn't that loud. They couldn't have a conversation. Supposedly at this dinner, Ye or Kanye, Mr. West, he decides that he's going to ask Trump to be his running mate. Well, Trump was kind of put off by this, apparently, and actually supposedly raised his voice and said, "You're going to lose." He said, I assume he said, "Absolutely not." I don't even know if he probably didn't even answer the question. If I had been president of the United States and someone came up to me and wanted me to be their running mate, when I just announced that I was going to run again, I don't know that I would talk to him anymore that night. It's the kind of thing where it is a very difficult. You're talking about running for president and now you want me to be your running mate. Are you half unhinged or something? What's wrong with you? Now, it's one thing if Kanye would have said, I want to be your VP. That's one thing. I don't think he would be a very good VP. I wouldn't want him stepping into the position if Trump got booted out. Now, this other fella, Nick Fuentes, I don't know who this guy is. I think I've heard his name before, but I really don't know who the guy is. And supposedly he's some kind of a far right, of course, because he's supposedly racist and a white supremacist. So therefore that makes him far right, which actually doesn't make him far right. That this has been proven time and time again, that the far right is not white supremacist. They think that that's the level. They try to give this perception that the further right you go, the more white supremacist you are. It starts with just a little bit, just the normal racist people, and then it goes, the further right you go, the more alt-right or whatever they want to call it, that you're a white supremacist. Like Steve Bannon, all we heard about was he's a white supremacist. And all you have to do is say, well, why can't, if you can have, if the Mexicans can have a parade in America and be proud to be Mexican, and actually celebrate being Mexican, or black people can have a parade and celebrate being black, or gay people can have a parade and celebrate being gay. What happens if a white person has a parade? White people have a parade and celebrate being white. Oh, no, you can't do that. Now, I'm not bringing it up because I want to do that. I'm bringing it up because, do you see the hypocrisy here? Who are the ones who are being told they can't do something because of their race? Because it makes you a racist. Because you're already a racist. You've been celebrating white pride for all your life. It's time to step down. You're now a minority in this country. Oh, do we get minority status? Absolutely not. Oh. So supposedly this Nick Fuentes guy is some kind of I don't know. I don't know anything about the guy. I don't know what to say about him. I'm just going by what the media says, and I don't know. I have not really heard him talk about anything with regard to race or anything else. I've never listened to any of his speeches or anything. I have no idea. He's probably written several books, because maybe he sat down with Mike Pence. They sat down together and wrote books together. I don't know. But you know, Mike Pence sat down and wrote a book because he's got all this time on his hands. Because that's what you do. You write a book, you go on tour, and then you announce your run for presidency. This is, you know, Hillary has done this again. I think she just wrote another book, her and her daughter, maybe. They were out on a book tour recently too. So they're trying to, you know, drum up not only support, but when you do that kind of thing, when you create that kind of content, it provides for all kinds of money exchanges. There's all that, just like artwork. When Hunter Biden all of a sudden came out and just started painting stuff, and all of a sudden he started selling art, and it was selling for ridiculous six figures. How does that work? That got real quiet all of a sudden. He kind of came out. My nephew's been painting for years. He's an excellent artist. He's incredible. He made some very interesting pieces. You think he can get six figures for any of those? You know, it's the idea that that there wasn't something corrupt going on there, some kind of weird payoff thing going on there. Somehow they're laundering money with that whole process. I don't know how it works, but they're doing it. I've kind of figured it out a little bit. I'm not going to get into it because I'm not really sure exactly how they're doing it, but I'm pretty sure I have an idea. But it's ridiculous. So there's this. Oops, I just bumped the microphone. There's this dinner. So there's this dinner, and they've got another guy, Milo Yiannopoulos, I believe is his name. Now, him I have heard of. He has been a, quote, conservative for a long time. Now, he was homosexual. He has apparently now, and very flamboyant, by the way, and very... Well, what do you say? He was very out there. I mean, he was very well known. He would try to speak at college campuses, and of course, they were torn by this whole thing because the guy was gay, and so they had, you know, what do they do with that? But he was also, you know, right wing. That went outside their box. How can you possibly be? So they even hated him worse because he kind of flew in the face of all their ideology. That the right-wing Republican Party is only, you know, white, straight, hetero men, racists, bigots. And here you have one that they don't understand what to do with. You know what to do with that guy. Now, interestingly enough, he has since come out of the closet. And he says he's a straight Catholic. I guess he had some kind of a revelation. I'm not sure exactly what happened there. I haven't heard his testimony, so I have no idea what happened. But it's interesting that all of a sudden that's all changed for him. And it sounds, you know, like he's done some thinking, possibly. So, these two guys, Nick Fuentes and Milo Yiannopoulos, both of them show up with Kanye. Now, my understanding is Trump did not know they were coming. Trump does not know much about Nick Fuentes. I doubt that Mitch McConnell or Kevin McCarthy knows much about Nick Fuentes, other than what they've heard since the meeting. Now, I kind of put this a little bit on Trump. However, I don't believe that Trump knew that. You know, he knows Kanye, and he's probably heard his background and understands his security clearance or what he's, you know, he's probably had it. If you're going to meet with the president, you're going to have, you know, they're going to look into your past. What kind of record do you have? What kind of issues do you have? However, when Mr. West says, hey, I want to bring a couple friends. Okay. I don't know that they knew who was on the docket. I don't know that they knew who was coming to this thing. They just showed up with a couple friends. Well, it happens to be this Milo and Nick Fuentes guy. And so here they are, controversial individuals at the dinner table with Trump. And I don't know that they were the only people at the dinner table with Trump. I don't think so. But I don't know. I don't know the whole situation. I haven't heard the details on that. All I know is that all of a sudden it became an event that the media could jump on. How fortuitous of them to be able to jump on this and say, see, they're saying he's anti-Semitic and white supremacist. This just shows, you know, that Trump is hanging out with anti-Semites and white supremacists. Need I remind you that Trump's daughter is Jewish, his son-in-law is Jewish, and his grandchildren are Jewish. And he has no problem with them. They were high up, unfortunately, in the White House. And of course, this is what where Kanye was kind of trying to draw lines to connect dots when he talks about Jewish people. So it's really amazing then how the leaders of the Republican Party right now, who are Kevin McCarthy and Mitch McConnell, almost on cue, within a day, come out and make statements and make speeches. Now, I'm going to play one here from, this is Mitch McConnell first, and then we're going to play Kevin McCarthy. Mitch McConnell comes out almost right away. I guess he's the one who decides who's going to be the nominee. This is what really, it should be terrifying for those of us in this. Because we don't get to choose now who's going to be. This is dangerous territory. First of all, Mitch McConnell does not look healthy at all. And he looks like he's, I'm sorry, but he's, well, first of all, Mitch has never been president. Mitch has been in Congress too long. Mitch needs to go. Mitch is trying to control everything and trying to get the GOP back to its little old establishment money-making machine that it is. And he's losing that. He sees it slipping away. And he doesn't know what to do with that. Here he is. This is Mitch McConnell. Hope this isn't too loud when it starts off. I'll try to. He comes out and makes this statement. And of course, it's anti-Trump. Now, keep in mind, this is Mitch McConnell. He doesn't just come out there by himself. He's got people standing around him, and they're all nodding with him. There's like five or six guys behind him, all of them in Congress, all of them in the Senate, GOP specialists. And so you know these people are, they're all standing there in support of what Mitch is saying. They're in on this. They're in with this speech. They're totally 100%, you know, behind what Mitch is saying here. So they're never Trumpers. These are the establishment folks. Keep in mind who these people are. I wish I knew all of their names that they're up there, but there's a group of people within the GOP. This isn't just Mitch by himself saying things like this. I'm going to play this. This is Mitch speaking to a group of reporters the day after the dinner with Kanye, Mr. West, yay, whatever his name is. I don't know what he wants to be called this week.
First, let me just say that there is no room in the Republican Party for anti-Semitism or white supremacy. And anyone meeting with people advocating that point of view, in my judgment, are highly unlikely to ever be elected president of the United States.
Now, they're highly unlikely to ever be elected president of the United States. Is he speculating on what the people are going to do? We're going to listen to another clip here in a little bit. First, we're going to listen to Kevin McCarthy's reaction to this. Then we're going to listen to another. This was an after. He was taking questions from the reporters, and he gets asked this question. I wanted to pull together a clip. This might be tomorrow morning. I might do this. I'm going to pull together a clip of Karine Jean-Pierre and how she answered a question about Twitter. Steven Crowder actually had the transcript of her answer, and he read it. And he didn't even pick on the way she said it that much. He picked a little bit. I mean, other guys around him did, but he was talking about the content of what she said, because it was actually ridiculous. But the way she answered the question, it is almost incoherent. The stammering and stuttering that goes on while she's reading this from a book. Now, keep in mind, these people at the press conferences, they get these questions in advance. That's why they're reading the answers, because they know the questions that are coming at them. The media, the left-wing media, works directly with this White House. This is all charade. It is all a show. Everything is theater. And the GOP is no less, the establishment GOP is no less akin to this show, these optics, this thing that they have to say. Mitch McConnell comes out and says, very unlikely that person is ever going to be elected president of the United States.
Elected president. Okay. My judgment. Are highly unlikely highly to ever unlikely. Be elected.
Ever be elected president of the United States. Okay. Okay, so it's highly unlikely ever be elected president of the United States. Really? Okay. Interesting. How do you know that, Mitch? Highly unlikely. This is a threat. The things that they have said with regard to January 6th, the thing that they've said now about this. You know, anybody who meets with someone who's, I bet I could show you pictures of Mitch McConnell meeting, shaking hands with, having pictures taken with people who are Klansmen and left-wing radicals. Probably people, I guarantee it. Terrorists, leaders of terrorist states. Because that happens. Just because you have dinner with someone does not make you, you're not guilty by association in this. To call him an anti-Semite is absolutely ridiculous. That's asinine. I'd hate to see what would happen to him. Right? They would really be going after him if his wife, or if his daughter was a Catholic or some kind of, a Protestant of some sort. They'd really be going after her. Trump, because at least there's this explanation of how do you say he's anti-Semite when he's got his own daughter is Jewish and he supports her, and how do you connect that? It's ridiculous. So here comes Kevin McCarthy now. He also comes out with a statement. Now Kevin actually is talking a little bit more like himself right here. This is not a typical political speech where he's trying to convince you of something. This is him coming out and kind of talking normal. He doesn't sound like Kevin Trudeau here. A little bit, but not much. This is more of him speaking off the cuff than normal. He's not just talking points here. He's actually coming out and saying something. And, have to hand it to him for that. However, what he says is also a little bit creepy and scary. Let's hear what Kevin McCarthy has to say now. Anytime, Kevin.
The president can have meetings with who he wants. I don't think anybody, though, should have a meeting with Nick Fuentes, and his views are nowhere within the Republican Party or within this country itself.
Now, pay attention carefully to what he just said. The president can have meetings with whoever he wants. That's okay. I agree. He can have a meeting with whoever he wants. He can meet with Louis Farrakhan if he wants to. Now, there's a guy who is a black man. I can't remember what his name is. If I had time, I would look it up here. Incredibly extraordinary man who gets it, understands it. I think he has led about 200 Klansmen away from the Ku Klux Klan by establishing, guess what it is, guess what the big R, relationship with them. He has made it his mission in life to have relationships with white supremacists. And he has helped to show them the error of their ways through relationship. Fascinating, amazing, incredible individual. Didn't just sit back and start calling names and drawing lines in the sand. He reached out to them. That's bold-faced. That's just bold-faced love right there. You don't do that unless you care about people. That's where it goes. Now, I know that in the heart of that man, there has to have been forgiveness, or he would never have reached out to them. If there was only bitterness and anger in his heart, he would never have reached out to them, because he can forgive them for that, what they've done. He can reach out to them, and they can accept, they can hear him, they can listen to each other. But that's a point for another day, or every day. Again, listen to the end of what Kevin McCarthy says here, because I disagree with his very last statement. As much as I would like to agree, or what I think the American people and the American experience is, unfortunately, we have to take the bad with the good here. Let's listen to what he says.
And his views are nowhere within the Republican Party or within this country itself.
They're nowhere within the Republican Party or within this country itself. Now, first of all, this country itself, if you get down to the basics of this country itself, what are you talking about? What we're talking about is that you have the, yes, it is within this country's principles based on freedom of speech. You have the right to hate. You even have the right to write things, R-I-G-H-T, to W-R-I-T-E, things that are hateful. You do not have the right to violence. You do not have the right to take someone else's rights away without due process. You can be a bigot all day long. It's not illegal. You can be hateful. It's not illegal. But the moment you act on that hate and create and commit a crime, regardless of whether there's hate in your heart or not, this just amazes me that we actually add, it's a hate crime. If you use, you know, the wrong language while you're committing the crime, now all of a sudden it becomes a hate crime. This is thought crime, is what it is. I don't know of too many people who kill other people when they're committing a crime, when they're committing an act of violence, but they're doing it because they love the person. Well, I killed him, but I didn't hate him. But this has become a thing now. And this is something that was brought up during the whole interview with, or the questioning of Karine Jean-Pierre the other day when she was being asked about Twitter and the hate that's on there, the hate speech. So it's Elon Musk now, he's the enemy. He's a far right, alt-right white supremacist, because he's allowing everybody to speak. He's not suppressing misinformation, which is any information that they don't want you to hear. Allowing the Hunter laptop information to go out that's misinformation, because, you know. So it's interesting to me. And again, everybody talks about the left being, you know, all of a sudden they're the ones who are censorship and all this stuff. The right wing of the party, the establishment right wing, they're the ones. They kind of started some of this censorship stuff. And it's this, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, they were the ones who were kind of trying to control morality. They were trying to legislate morality in a way that you can't really do that on its face. You can use moral standards as a way to create law based on individual rights. You cannot start saying, well, this is wrong and that's wrong and this is right and this is wrong. Is it? Can't spend too much time on the computer. We're not children. But they've created a society through public education, in my opinion, that we are basically all children and we depend on the government as our father. Now, you look at what's going on in China. I'm going to talk about this right now. The great benevolent government, the benevolent leader, Xi Jinping, just cares about the people so much. And what I'm doing is it's what's best for you. You're trying to escape the quarantine. It just means you don't care about anybody else. You don't want to wear your mask. Babylon Bee had something, yes, I think it was yesterday. It might have been the day before. Very funny meme. A friend of mine, I had a couple friends send it to me. I was like, yeah, I saw it, but it's still worth a laugh. It was pretty good. Gretchen Whitmer being called upon by the Chinese Communist Party to direct lockdowns in China. Gretchen Whitmer is the governor of Michigan. Yeah, pretty much. That's pretty funny. She'd probably be really good at it. Now, let's talk about a little bit what's going on in China, because this ties right in with Elon Musk and everything that's happening with the riots there and the whole Twitter thing. Apparently, Apple has pulled all of its advertising off of Twitter. Apple used to advertise on Twitter. I would assume that was a rather large account. They've pulled out. They're not advertising on Twitter. Now, this is a first sign of possibly pulling Twitter off of the App Store, which is their prerogative. They can do that if they want to. I can't believe that Musk would have gone into the purchase of Twitter without realizing that this was a possibility. He had to have known that Apple might do that, or that the one Achilles heel he would have is that he was dependent on Apple to keep Twitter on the App Store. Now, everybody says, well, if it goes off the App Store, it's gone. It's gone forever. No, it's not. It's not gone forever. I don't believe Rumble is on the App Store. I know Parler isn't. Parler was down. Parler might be getting back on. They might be able to get back on the App Store. I'm not sure what's happening with that whole thing. I haven't even gone to Parler lately. I wonder if there's still a website. Parler. Let's just look here. Let's look real quick. Parler. See if Parler's still on here. Parler. Parler.com. We'll just go there. See what's happening. Yeah, see if anything pops up. Oh, there it is. Have an account, sign in. Let's just do that. I think I got an account. I had an account. Oh, I don't know. I don't know what my username is. I don't think it's that. I don't believe it's that. I don't know. I don't know what it is. So there's Parler. Now Gab is also out there. I think Gab might have been taken off of. Yeah, I still have an account here. It just signs right on there. Or maybe it doesn't. There it is, yeah. I think this is the same. I think that's the same username for Parler. Yeah, there I am. Excuse me. So Gab is still out there. Now, I don't think Gab is on the... I'm seeing his pictures of birds. Yeah. It's interesting. Okay. Not much on here, but I don't see much. The thing that made Parler big was that right after the election, people were really jumping on the election bandwagon on Parler, and it was, of course, that was one of the biggest. Yeah, there's TikTok crap. There's just lots of different things on here, but it is a free speech zone, and so it's. It's one of those things. I think they were pretty sure that Gab was taken off of the Now, what you can do is you just go to Gab on your phone. You go, you get a browser, you go to, you go to Gab, and you pin that then to your main, to your home screen. And it just takes, and then there's an icon. And every time you click on it, it operates just like an app at that point. You're looking at a web page, but it operates like an app. I've done this with several other websites that I go to all the time for work. I'll just pin that to my home screen, and then I can just click on it. It goes right to the right to that place. I don't have to go through my web browser to get there. Very convenient. Twitter can do the same thing. However, I have the feeling that I think Elon is about to unleash a phone that is probably going to probably outperform iPhone. Personally, iPhone has gotten kind of stagnant. I'm not sure. And I have the feeling that Elon is going to, you know, offer this phone that has service through his Skylink system. And I think once that's up and running, I think you're going to see a whole new net. The next big change is going to be a network. It's not going to be cellular. Now, the 5G thing, I think, is going to be big. However, I think that this whole thing is going to play off of, at some point, I think that Musk is establishing something that and the whole reason he bought Twitter was to get himself further advanced. His main goal was going to take about another 4 or 5 years to kind of get there. Or I should say it's going to, I don't know how many years it's going to take, but acquiring Twitter was going to reduce the amount of time by 3 to 4 years to get to his goal of this X thing that he's working on. So it's interesting. Now, I forgot to play this other one. Mitch McConnell, I'm going to get back to this statement because this was very telling. I hate to jump around like this. I need to jump back for a second. When you listen to this, this is Mitch McConnell being asked questions after his little speech about the whole Trump thing. Let's play this real quick because I really need this. This is important to hear what he says because he doubles down on it here.
Lena McConnell. In light of what you said, that there's no room in your party for anyone who harbors these anti-Semitic views, if Donald Trump wins the Republican nomination, would you support him?
Look, let me just say again, there is simply no room in the Republican Party for anti-Semitism or white supremacy. And that would apply to all of the leaders in the party who will be seeking offices.
So does Mitch decide? Does Mitch decide who's going to be the nominee? Does Mitch decide who's going to be in the primary? Who's going to be allowed in the primary? Is that what he's saying here? It would seem so. Now, this comes down to, again, all the control that the media has in this situation. Now, they're all coming out. Now, of course, they're blasting Kevin McCarthy for his response. You know, Kevin McCarthy's response was weak, and it was, I don't think they realize how scary McCarthy's little talk was. Neither is Mitch. Because they didn't come out and just totally condemn him and say he's not going to be allowed in the party or we're booting him out. We can't do that. What exactly did Trump say at this dinner that said he was aligning with or that he was in agreement with anything that these people stood for? It's just jumping on the bandwagon again. It's the piling on. It's the, oh, we have to vilify this guy because we've got to get somebody in there more, you know, more GOP-esque. Maybe one of the Bushes can come back out again and run. Or Mitt Romney, get him to run again. Well, Mitt Romney came out and made a statement too. I'm not even going to play that because, again, it's just, he's a loser as well. Why should we listen to him again? So back to this whole thing with China. Apple has decided to side with China on the issue of these people protesting. They pulled a very fast, now keep this in mind, this is technology, this is how fast they can do this kind of stuff. They were using in China, they were using this thing called AirDrop to be able to talk to each other in small crowds. You could just AirDrop everybody in the crowd with the phone. So you could send information very quickly to everyone within range. And of course, you keep airdropping to everybody else, and one person, they kind of had a network of people, and they would airdrop information going out. Because they can't use social media like we can here in this country. It's been, they're completely censored over there. Try to get on YouTube, try to get on Facebook, any of that kind of stuff. It's very different over there. There's all kinds of firewalls. It used to be the Great Wall of China, now it's the Great Firewall of China. So they control, that's the social control that they have over their people. And guess who admires that? The leftists here in this country admire that greatly. There are probably some people on the right as well, too, in the establishment. They sit there and look at it and go, oh, I wish we could, talk, I wish I could say, I kind of like that. But I can't say anything about it. Because, stuff. So, they have this total control of people over there. And it's fascinating to see how Apple is siding with this. Because, of course, China, how do you control a billion people? Can you imagine? We've only got 300,000 in this country, or 300 million in this country. They've got a billion people. In fact, I think there's more than that. I think it's 1.4 billion now. Let's see what the population of China. Population of China. Yeah, let's see what we got here. 1.5 billion, almost 1.452 billion people. As of Thursday, November 24th, this is, after the last birth, they counted. I'm sure they count every birth over there. 1.45 billion people. So, yeah, that's a lot of people. How do you control that many people? They've got it down to a science. The demographics there, of course, now you do have kind of tribal mentality in some areas. Not every place is city. It's very populated, obviously. It's a very large landmass, but it's also, there's just people after people. It's kind of like going to India. There's a very large number of people within the landmass that they have there. In fact, I think, let's look at the population of India. I think it might actually be, let's see what it is here. As of 2022, yeah, it's over a billion. It's 1.4, current population of India, 1.4 billion, almost as much as China. And the landmass is far smaller. Gives you an idea. However, in India, there's not this social control. Now, they do have some. India is the second most populated country in the world, with a sixth of the world's population. This is something called the 1040 window, if you know anything about that. According to official estimates, there was a book, I think, written back in the 70s, if I remember right, it's called the 1040 window. It might have been in the 80s. It was either late 70s, early 80s. Missionaries knew very well what the 1040 window was. It was like 40% of the people on the planet lived in 10% of the continent, or of the world. 10% of the world contained 40% of the world's population. I guess what it was, 1040 window. And it was within this area where mission groups, mission organizations were strongly trying to press into that demographic. So yes, it's even a smaller landmass and it has more, almost as many people. It's just, villages are connected. There's just people left, there's no space left anywhere where there's like big open ranges of space other than where there's, terrain that you can't really live on. They do some farming, obviously. They have some farms and that kind of thing, but it's very, very populated. Now, if you took I can't remember what it is. If you took the entire population of the U.S., would fit in Texas. I think you can give everybody an acre of land. I believe everybody in the U.S., I think there's over 300 million acres of land. It's, well, while we're doing stuff here on this search engine, let's just go with how many acres in Texas. Let's see how many there are. Oh, I guess I am wrong on that. Oh, wait, oh, is that an area too? 268,000 square miles. Texas is the second largest state in the country. Maybe it was California. No, Texas. Yeah, this looks like it's 171, almost 172 million acres. Texas is the second largest state in the U.S. with an area of 261 miles or 160. Yeah. Texas is about 1.65 times larger than California at 164. Texas is not the largest state, however, Alaska is the largest state, nearly 200. Maybe I'm thinking of, I was thinking of Alaska. However, you could give everyone a half an acre of land. Everyone in the U.S., you could give them a half an acre of land. Most houses are on half an acre of land or less. A home, which means, you know, more than one person usually lives in a home. If you have a regular family of about three to four people, living in a home on a half an acre of land, that opens up a whole lot of other land. The entire population of the U.S. could move to Texas, and everyone could have their own home on a half an acre of land. And that, you know, that would only be, that'd be two people per home, basically, two people per half acre. And of course, there's going to be more than that in some and less than others. And you would still have, and the entire country would be empty. Everyone would be living in Texas. It's fascinating when you think about it, how much area and space there is out there in this country. Just to put things in perspective, it's interesting sometimes to look at those kinds of statistics and look at the size of the planet. And then to think that, you know, most of that's covered by water. How tiny we are. I think I just read something the other day. This might have been, was this on Facebook or was it something that my nephew sent me? I think it was something my nephew sent me. I believe it was. I'm gonna take a look here and see if he sent me this. Yes, here it is. This is excellent. When you think about how huge the Earth is, now the Earth is just a tiny ball orbiting the sun, which in turn is a minuscule speck in the universe. It's pretty easy to rationalize eating an entire pie. That thing's just tiny compared to the universe. You know, I've often thought that I would probably try to work that into a, you know, if my wife ever asked me, you know, let me just put it this way. If your wife ever asks you, if your girlfriend or wife ever asks you, you know, does my butt look big? Well, it's a tiny little thing compared to the universe. It's just a little tiny thing. That's all about perspective. I don't think it would go over really well. I probably want to say that. Just probably want to say the tiny part, not the comparison to the universe thing. That probably wouldn't be. You need to stop. You kind of need to know where to stop. Kind of like using a Q-tip. And when you put it in your ear, you need to know where to stop. When you start feeling resistance, don't keep going. Yeah, that's that point right there. You got to know your limitations. But I digress. This whole thing, the thing that's the scariest happening in China is that there is this social surveillance. It has crept into, and of course, it's becoming this big deal where they want to outlaw. They want TikTok taken off of the. So Apple has. They put out this new update on the iPhone over there. And guess what? It disabled the AirDrop function on the iPhone. I think you can reinstate it or something, or if you can, I don't know what you can do to get it back, but basically they've taken it off. It doesn't work automatically like it does on our phones here. This is how people were communicating over there. But of course, they're siding with the Chinese government. Now, think about how quickly that could happen over here, how much we depend on our phones for communication and for, you know, just the ability to chat back and forth. I am seriously looking into getting a ham radio. Now, ham radio signals can be jammed. But if you have a CB, Citizens Band radio, a ham radio, and as well as having some little family radios, there's ways of communicating within your community outside of the cell phone network if it ever fails. Now, of course, going to satellite phones is going to be supposedly more, a little bit more dependable, theoretically. However, you know, you're still going to have the ability to knock things out. I mean, I think that there's ways of knocking out satellites and knocking out communication that here's what's weird about this is that people are talking about China. Oh, we got to get rid of TikTok because it's recording everything. It's recording your keystrokes, your facial identification, your voice recognition. It's mapping your voice to recognize. Everybody has a unique voice. I don't know if this is why in the world of voiceover, which I do some things, everyone has a unique voice. And sometimes that voice, I've even seen actors and actresses who want to go to Hollywood and be a star. Well, guess what? It's not always they're like, I'm good enough looking to be a star in Hollywood, or to be an actor in Hollywood. It's not about looks. It's about your character. They're looking for characters. There are people who have worked in Hollywood for a long time because they're good at their craft, not because they're good at their looking. Now, if you're a star, you want to be the headliner, the million-dollar maker, the guy who draws all the fans in. Typically, you know, the Tom Cruises, some of those other people. Those are the people who, you know, you have to look good, you have to look the star part. But guess what? There are a lot of other people in their movies, that are busy working every week on movies because they have a smaller part. And there's a lot more smaller parts out there than there are headline parts. And they can try for those parts. And it doesn't matter how good looking you are. So somebody's got to be the ugly villain. Somebody's got to be the troll. You know, it's the same thing with voice work, voice acting. Now, I listen to radio quite often and listen to shows and advertising and that kind of thing. And there are characters portraying that, of course, radio, when they make it sound like they're actually, you hear somebody over the phone giving a testimony because it sounds like a phone. Well, I was out there on my truck and I went out this way. Those are actors. Those are voice actors portraying a part 90% of the time, probably 99% of the time. And it sounds like they're calling in.
Yeah, I'll just call 1-800-DINO-VITE. My dog was chewing up his shoes. He smelled and he's itchy.
All that stuff. You hear that kind of stuff. These people are actors. Typically. Sometimes they have to, some places they have to actually put down below paid actor. They don't have to do that for radio. They have to do that sometimes. And I've known people who were on advertisements, television advertisements locally here for LASIK surgery for their eyes. And they were talking about how they love LASIK surgery. They didn't have the surgery. I know them personally. They didn't have the surgery. They just got the part. Amazing. But you would think that they were giving a testimony. They're, oh yeah, I had LASIK surgery and blah, blah, blah. They're just reading a part. That's just, it's just an act. But there's work for that person. The common individual. Just the regular Joe down the street. Guy next door. Or gal next door. I'm working on the sweet tea now with the apple cider and V8 Fusion. It's good stuff. But I digress. I've gone an hour. That's enough. The scary thing about this whole thing is the surveillance technology and the ability that they have to do this kind of stuff. Now, what do you think is going to happen in 10 to 15, 20 years? Technology, as it continues to put a noose around our necks. It's unavoidable to some degree. You can try. But their ability to pick you out of a crowd, to simply know where your phone is pretty much where you are. They can record everything you've said. They can transcribe it on the fly. All that. What are they doing with all that information? And how will they use it in a nefarious way? Those are the things that are big questions at this point. Don't mean to scare you with all that, but keep it in mind. Technology is great. It's very convenient. It makes life better. It can also be used like anything else. I mean, newspapers in their day during the war efforts were used to propagate things and get propaganda out there. Change narratives, to change the hearts and minds of individuals. They used to dump papers over Vietnam, just little notes, pamphlets. They would drop stuff like that to the Vietnamese, North Vietnamese, Viet Cong, they used to call them. Yeah, it's just more control. People, we'll get into that more tomorrow. But it's time to pray. Pray for our country and each other. Thanks for listening, folks. God bless. Have a great day. Get out there and celebrate life with a run.